is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another candidate interview today. Tobias Reed is currently Oregon State Treasurer and also a Democratic candidate for governor. Tobias, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, first of all, tell folks about your background, a little bit about maybe growing up and your initial career.
Sure. Well, I was raised in Idaho, and I came to Oregon by choice for college, and I have mostly stuck around. So I had the good fortune to work at Nike, to serve in the legislature, and now to serve as treasurer. For me, it's been a really good progression, because I've learned about how to pass legislation. But I've also learned as treasurer that the passing of legislation or the appropriating of money is often the first and sometimes the easiest part. What really matters is having the follow-through to deliver results, to have the execution that's going to make a difference for Oregonians. I'm fortunate to be married to a saint. We have a seventh-grade daughter and a third-grade son. And you know, as much as there are challenging times right now, some heavy and big things to take on, I'm still optimistic about what we can do in Oregon when we're working together and focused on the long run while we deliver the results that people need.
So going into your work at Nike, did that come with a degree background from one of our universities here?
I went to Willamette as an undergrad, and then I went to business school at the University of Washington. For me, Nike was a great preparation. I worked on footwear development, which isn't necessarily the thing that everyone thinks of as a natural preparation for policymaking, but it turns out it's really good preparation because we had to be clear on what priorities mattered. If we were going to deliver a shoe, and I worked on kids' shoes, that worked for people, we had to make choices. If we were going to do it at the price we needed, by the date we needed, we had to get really clear on what were those trade-offs. And it turns out that I think that's a good model for policymaking too, being clear on what is the most important. And Nike, as everyone knows, has a pretty amazing culture of innovation, something we could do with more of in state government as well.
So how did that lead you to running for the legislature?
Well, I had worked in the legislature when I was a student at Willamette and had a sense of what was needed there. And I've always been frustrated by what I think is, a flaw in our political structures and systems that emphasizes the short term instead of the long run. And I think there is a need for that inside the political system. So when that opportunity arose, I wanted to take it. And that's still true for me. We have, as I said, a seventh grade daughter, a third grade son, and I look at the experiences they've had as public school students, much like students around the state have struggled through the pandemic. There's nothing, despite the heroic efforts of educators, that would allow me to think that remote school can match in-person school. We've got to think about the investments that we're making in the next generation right now. Keeping school open, it should be a last resort that schools would ever close. Let's measure that progress for the state based on the well-being of our kids. Third grade reading is a great example of that. Those connections that we can make between the decisions that we make now, the investments we make now, and long run results. That's what really motivates me to think about this campaign.
And during your time in the legislature, well, how many terms did you serve?
I served 5 terms in the House.
And then what made you run for treasurer?
Well, I feel like the legislature was sort of like being in college in that there were committees that were kind of like classes. We developed our own specialties and majors and things that we became more expert in. And it was natural for me to develop some experience and expertise around things that aligned with the treasurer's office, revenue and finance, infrastructure, economic development, those kinds of things. So there was an open seat in the treasurer's office. I felt like I could bring the expertise I developed in the legislature to the office and it's worked out really well. I'm proud of the things that we've done in the Treasurer's Office. We manage $140 billion. That's the state's portfolio, where we issue all the debt that the state uses to finance infrastructure. We have a suite of financial empowerment programs that help Oregonians save for retirement and save for college or education after high school, as well as a savings program for people who are living with disabilities. All of these things really allow Treasury to be a financial hub for Oregonians, and we run an agency that has performed well despite some really challenging circumstances, and I think those are experiences. That's a real contrast, frankly, executive experience from legislative experience, and I think that's something that the next governor ought to have.
And then what made you decide to run for governor?
We are living in some really challenging times right now. If you look around, you don't have to look very far to see homelessness crisis getting worse, whether it's in Portland most visibly or in other parts of the state. A conversation with the mayor of North Bend recently about the experience that she's having there. There's record high gun violence in Portland and in other places. And of course, all the parents I know are worried about whether their kid's going to be able to get through school without being sent home because of some kind of closure, whether it's COVID or the lack of substitutes. I'm just not satisfied with where we are as a state, and I think we have to find the resolution to be urgent about the status quo not being acceptable. And this is an election where there is a clear choice in the primary. More of the same, continuity, status quo, or a new direction. And we can't afford the status quo. It's clear to me what we're doing is not working. So that's the reason I'm running. I want to bring that new approach, the record of accomplishment, experience, and delivering results.
How would you describe the role of the governor?
That's an interesting question. I think the governor is obviously the CEO of the state, and I think it's the person who has to set a vision for the state, to articulate it, and to rally people to understand the steps that we need to take to achieve that vision. There are lots of different elements of that. For me, one of the most central organizing themes is measuring our progress as a state based on the well-being of our kids. That is a really useful proxy, I think, for what Oregon is going to look like in the future. And I think most lessons and most issues can be seen through the eyes of kids. Being consistent about that, the governor can say, I think be a cheerleader for the state, help the state be prepared to deal with changing circumstances, emergent opportunities, but to be a reminder of what our vision is and where Oregon is headed. Small changes now can lead to big results in the future. And the governor has a unique role, unique tools and unique capacity to point the ship of state in the direction that's going to serve Oregonians over the long run.
How is your what would your top priorities be if you're elected?
It's absolutely making sure that that kids have the ability to live up to their full potential. So making sure that schools work well, that they are consistently open, that we're building an economy that doesn't leave people behind, and that we're creating jobs for tomorrow. Those are, I think, the three top priorities for me. And I think the difference that's clear in this race is that it's not just a matter of talk. Those are all easy things to say, but looking for people who can bring people together to achieve those things in unusual combinations. It's going to look different, and I recognize I'm talking to you in Douglas County. I'm in Washington County right now, but having the humility to show up in Douglas County by phone, by radio, and hopefully in person before long, and listen to the unique experiences that and challenges and opportunities that exist in Douglas County, we've got to have the priority that overlays all these specific issues to remind us that we are all Oregonians together. And despite the diversity of our experiences and challenges and opportunities, that's what's going to unite us and allow us to achieve great things together.
What would your style be working as governor?
Collaborative. I don't think anyone is going to have a challenge understanding my thinking or where I'm coming from. But I want to hear what other people think. I want to hear where people think my approach or perspective is wrong, or where I'm missing something. I want to show up in places. This is a big state geographically, but it's a small enough state that we can be in front of each other. We can hear each other, and I'm gonna not shrink from doing tough things. I can point to that through my time as a legislator and as treasurer, but I really seek to build relationships with people that survive disagreements. I can be nearly 100% confident that I'm going to disappoint probably everyone I talk to in some way or another, because I'm going to come to a different conclusion on some issue. But again, I think the key for a successful process, a successful state government, is to have the relationships where people can say, well, I don't agree on that issue, but I still want to be in the conversation because we got things to work on together. So collaborative and creative, I think, are two hallmarks of my style.
Back with more in a moment. State Treasurer Tobias Reed, Democratic candidate for governor. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, 1246. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Oregon Duck basketball coming up today at 2. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, March is Problem Gambling Awareness Month, and Tom Sorrells from Adept will address the topic of problem gambling. Oregon State Treasurer and Democratic candidate for Governor Tobias Reed on with us now. Well, as treasurer, I would find it interesting to know your perspective about how you think the state of Oregon is doing financially right now.
Well, we're in a really interesting position, I think, where we're coming out of the pandemic with a lot more resources than I think people expected us to have. You know, the projections at the beginning were really alarming in terms of where the economy might go. I think as a result of federal and state choices, we're in pretty good shape relative to that. The question for us is how we use this moment to learn the lessons of the pandemic and make investments that are going to have a long-term effect. So trying to think about how we make school more effective. I know I talked to one superintendent in Oregon that is using the summer in interesting ways. Ways to help students catch up, to fill in on things that they might be struggling with, or to have enrichment opportunities. That's an example, I think, of the sort of investments that we can make that will pay long-term dividends coming out of a unique situation like this.
What about shifts that you might propose to the state government?
Well, that's one example, frankly, to think about how we can fill in gaps in education, not to let the restoration of the old norm be the height of our aspirations. You know, I hear a lot of people say, let's get back to normal. And that always kind of rubs me the wrong way, because I don't think for a lot of people the good old days were so good. So I think having that clear expectation around education, K-12 and higher education delivered in different ways that meet changing needs is a very smart thing. I think we can change the way we look at our energy infrastructure and the relationship with forestry. These are opportunities not only to be smarter, but to create jobs. And we shouldn't be limiting ourselves to the same kind of entrenched positions that pits people against each other when we can do things that are good for the environment and the economy simultaneously.
You mentioned education. What are your overall thoughts about Oregon's education system, both the funding levels and the effectiveness of the education that's being provided?
Well, what we've seen through the pandemic, I think, is the vulnerability that existed and maybe wasn't as visible before. We're not doing everything we can or that we should for our students. So consistency and expectations for in-person schooling has to be at the top of the list. I think making sure that the experience that students and educators alike have in classrooms has to be improved. There's all kinds of ways that can continue to improve. And I think, you know, we're in a spot where we've got to make sure that everyone is fully staffed. The circumstance we've been in reveals how important it is. Mental health has to be a priority for students and for educators as well. All of the experiences that people in Oregon, students in Oregon particularly, have had have really tested us, whether it's the pandemic or wildfires the discussion around violence and crime in various parts of the state. Students are struggling, and so are their families, the economic disruptions as well. So having school as a safe and consistent place that people can be learning, both academically, socially, and emotionally, these are key elements for us. I have lots of confidence in the people that are doing that work, but I want to make sure that they have the support so that they can focus on how to serve kids rather than what they have to do to keep the doors open and the lights on.
Number of people in education, teachers, and others who were approaching retirement age or right on the edge of it during the pandemic. Some opted to leave sooner than they might have otherwise. That's caused shortages and challenges. And nationally, that's an issue, I'm told, as well. How do you address that and attract more people to get into the teaching industry, if you will?
You know, you're pointing to the right thing. I saw a survey that said about 50% of teachers nationally are seriously considering quitting. And that is a problem, not only for the pure capacity, but the accumulated wisdom and knowledge that's there. So we've got to make sure that this is a safe place for people to teach. So that means adequate ventilation. It means masks and testing. And it means the sort of place that people feel respected. So wages and benefits are part of that. But you're also right to point to the need to improve our recruitment and retention strategies. So I think we should be smart about how we make this an attractive career for people. Let's be serious and aggressive about real student loan forgiveness for people who commit to teaching in places where they are needed. Maybe it's down payment assistance so people can sink roots into communities around the state. There's no better investment than in making sure that high-quality teachers are in place and that students have a chance to learn from them and grow with them.
How do you think the business community overall would evaluate the work of state government?
You know, our son is in third grade, and so he doesn't quite get the A, B, C, Ds yet. I haven't committed all the things that he gets, but one I remember he gets consistently and independently is one, generally it's one, and sometimes is another. These are letters I haven't committed to memory yet. So I think I would probably pick the one that is closest to sort of incomplete or maybe inconsistent. I think there are places where we do well, and there are places where we are really lacking. I was frustrated, for example, that it seems like we didn't even really make an effort to attract Intel to make their big expansion in Oregon. Of course, we're not going to win every one of those competitions, but we should absolutely be putting our best foot forward and being aggressive. I also think the tone at the top really matters. The governor should be a cheerleader for Oregon, talking about the things that are great here and the things that we want to improve on, and recognizing that we're all going to be better when there's an expanding economy, when there are more jobs and higher wages, not less. I would guess, of course, it's going to depend on the individual person being asked, but I would think that those are going to be elements that a business person is going to be frustrated about in Oregon, around consistency, around positive messaging, and optimism for the partnerships that the public and private sector can engage in together.
You mentioned the recent Intel announcement. That seemed to rattle a lot of people.
There are reasons to be rattled. Again, I don't think we're going to win every competition we enter, but we got. I'm mixing my metaphors, but I don't want to be sitting on the sideline. I don't want to be in the dugout. Rather than to play taking our swings. We've got to be, particularly when it comes to Oregon's largest private sector employer. I think the CEO there and the governor ought to be on a first-name basis. We may not be able to deliver everything they need, but we sure ought to be making every effort to make sure that there's industrial land in place, that infrastructure's in place for expansions like that, and that ultimately Intel and other employers know that they have a partner in state government and hopefully local government governments as well, who want them to succeed, who want to create the conditions by which they can flourish. And it's going to look different in different communities. It's going to look different for different industries and companies. But our success as a state depends on a stable and growing economy, one in which as many people as possible can participate.
You're on the land board now. How would you define the state role in managing state-owned forests?
It's pretty clear that we have to deliver the greatest permanent value. And that's an interesting discussion about how that ends up getting defined in certain circumstances. But we've got to balance those things. We've got to make decisions that do not disadvantage people who will come after us at the expense of people who are here now. It's a question of time, but managing over the long run is what's at the center of those discussions, and that's why I'm really proud of the place that we are nearing with the respect to the Elliott State Forest that's soon going to be the Elliott State Research Forest. We were in a really interesting dilemma that goes back to the 90s with respect to the Elliott, and I don't think anybody would have designed the process that we went through, they got to do it themselves, but we're in a good place now with really strong support for transforming this forest into a research forest at Oregon State to figure out how we can continue to practice sustainable forestry in a way that respects and builds on the industry that is such a central part of our economy and our history and our future. And I think that's a good model for the other decisions that the land board has to make.
As we wrap up here, if folks want to find out more about you and see some of your thoughts about it, other topics as well, talk about your website and social media.
Yeah, please check out TobiasReed.com. It's one of the advantages of having an unusual name. You can find us at that same places on Twitter and Instagram as well, TobiasReed.com.
All right, State Treasurer, Democratic candidate for Governor Tobias Reed, thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
1258 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.